Okay, so now we're going to do Halacha Vav, right? Chapter 6-6, basically, in Hilchot Deot. Listen to this language. This is an amazing, amazing line. In all of Hilchot Deot, I want you to know, in all of Hilchot Deot, these two halachot, Halacha Vav and Halacha Zayin, to me, are the most powerful halachot. K'sheyechta ish le'ish. Now, we've talked about the fact that the word chet is not a sin, that's not a Jewish word, it's a mistake. When you make a mistake relative to your fellow human being, okay? Lo yistemenu v'yishtok. You're not allowed to keep silent, not allowed to keep it inside. Not allowed to. In other words, don't make the mistake of thinking that because you're not supposed to hate your fellow person inside, that you just let go of it. That's not true. That's very unhealthy. You got an issue with somebody, they make a mistake, right? You shouldn't keep it quiet, right? And by the way, it's interesting what the Rambam is suggesting, as I understand it, is the way to start this process is to recognize this as a mistake. It's a chait, it's a mistake. You know? I don't know. One of the guys gets annoyed about something that he perceives that I did, and he walks into my office, and he pours red paint all over the desk. And then he draws in it, Binny's an idiot, and he walks out. And I see a guy walking out of my office, you know, and I see him doing this, and he's got his hands covered with paint, he walks out, right? So your natural thing to do, right? So your natural thing to do, so let's say now I'm like furious, I got a big meeting coming in, I don't know, Richard Joel from YU is coming to sit with me, and I got paint on my desk and it says, Binny, I hate you, you know what I mean? So not a good recommendation for the yeshiva, right? So now I'm like freaking out, like, right? I'm like, you know, like, so the first thing is, am I angry? Well, if I'm angry, as we're going to get to, that's not good. Am I hateful? That's terrible. So I got to get rid of that. Now let's say I got to get rid of that. So what, does that mean I shouldn't say anything? Turn the other cheek? Oh, please, paint me over here. No. You got to remit. That's a serious thing, but you can't do it in anger, right? It's a mistake. And the way to start this is to recognize, look, what could cause a person to do this type of thing? So let's say a person has an anger issue. If someone else has an anger, when people have anger issues, they do dumb things. That's the general rule. They do dumb things, and you can't hold a person accountable inside. I'm not talking about that you can hold him accountable for his actions. But you can't bear a grudge to a person because he did something out of anger. You can try to help him get anger management, right? So that's the first stage, is recognize it's a mistake. And then, let me just finish the line. And then, k'mo she'ne'emar b'rasha'im v'lo diber avshalom et amnon me'uma le'meira ve'ad tov. Ki sanei avshalom et amnon. Okay, now this is an amazing line. The story here, well, we'll get to it in a second. You have a question, Mikey.
How does this, what's the basis for the Christian sentiment of turn the other cheek?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's not a Jewish idea at all. Judaism says, lo tikom velo titor. You're not supposed to take revenge. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. Right? Bearing grudge, by the way, is not the same as hating a person in your heart. Bearing grudge is what happens when you allow that hatred to spew out and you do something. Right? You say something, you do something. So, I don't know, maybe they interpreted that you could take it a stage farther. But Judaism is clearly saying that's not the case. And you think about this. Right? This example is an amazing example. Amnon is the cousin of Avshalom, right? And he is smitten with Tamar. Tamar is this is Avshalom's sister, half-sister. And Avshalom, by the way, is the son of David HaMelech. And Avshalom was very, very handsome. The Pesukim speak about how handsome he was. So I have to imagine that Tamar was beautiful, right? And Amnon is in love with Tamar. But she apparently isn't interested in him or won't give him the time of day. So he concocts an idea. Somebody gives him advice. That's a whole other discussion. How one person in the wrong place at the wrong time giving bad advice can change the world in either direction. So he gives him bad advice, and Amnon pretends to be sick. And then he asks if Tamar can make him her famous, like, hotcakes, whatever they are, right? Dudaim, and bring them. And then, you know, make him feel better. So sure, so David says, Tamar, or Avshalom says, Tamar. Tamar goes, and she's Mavakar Chola, she visits him, and he basically rapes her. That seems to be pshat in the pasuk. He overpowers her, and he rapes her, she begs him not to, and he does. Then when this whole thing is over, right, so she doesn't love him at all. But now she demands of him that he has to marry her. Now that's a strange result in our, like, we can't imagine that. Can you imagine a woman today wanting to marry the person who rapes her? But basically, you know, marriage was very different back then, and marriage had to do with protection and the fact that you were covered and you were taken care of and someone would help you have children. And now that she's raped and damaged goods and not a betulah, so she's going to have a very hard time finding a husband. So if you rape me, you have to take responsibility for me. Amnon doesn't want to do it. Avshalom is furious. This is his sister. Avshalom goes to David. David HaMelech doesn't apparently do enough. He castigates Amnon, but doesn't punish him. And Avshalom bears this tremendous grudge against Amnon, and consequently against David. And this grudge grows to such an extent, right, that eventually he rebels against David HaMelech. If you know your Sefer Shmuel, he kicks David HaMelech out of Yerushalayim. He does terrible things, including taking the concubines of the Melech and of his father, and having his way with him, at least one way of understanding the Pesukim. David HaMelech has to flee Yerushalayim over Har HaZitim. We almost lose Malchut Beit David. You understand this? He almost won that war. We would have lost David HaMelech. We would have lost Malchut Beit David. Who knows what would have happened? And all of this, says the Rambam, comes because he kept this anger inside of him. Can't do that. I've met people. I had a student once, an Israelite, who came, and we got into this deep discussion because we were having a discussion along these topics. He had an uncle who had wronged his father, and he hadn't talked to his uncle in like 25, 30 years. And it was a whole big family bruch. And I said, how could you have an uncle that you don't talk to? Like, you could disagree with him. So you have to get together with him. Go, talk to him. Don't let him off the hook. Hug him, whatever. Anyway, they eventually got together. They actually got together the first time they'd seen each other in 30 years. And they came to a class of mine in New York. And they had this big rapprochement. They talked about how many misunderstandings, how many, you know, whatever it might be, right? So you can't bear it inside, right? Lo yistamenu v'yishtok. You have to do something about it, right? So, Ella, mitzvah, you have a question? Ella, mitzvah alav lahodiyo. There is a mitzvah. Now listen to his language. You are obligated to let him know. V'lomar lo, lama asita li kach v'kach. Why did you do this? Now this is another interesting question. Look how the Rambam says this. He doesn't say, tell him you did this. He says, let him know, why did you do this? In other words, how you present it has a lot to do with where it'll go. You know, some guy, I don't know, some guy takes your laptop and uses your laptop without your permission and screws it all up and you lose all the data on your laptop and you're having a freak out and you're so angry at him. And you go to him and you say, do you know what you did? Do you know what you did? You destroyed my laptop. So what are you thinking in your mind? You're saying to him, listen, you destroyed my laptop. What are you going to do about it? But you're not asking him, you're telling him. People have a very hard time responding when you're telling him. What if you came to him and said, listen, you know, I know that in the dorm we have a culture and some guys, people use other people's laptops, and I don't know if you realize this, but you messed up my laptop. Like, well, why? What happened? Right? If it comes from a space, and if, by the way, you start from the beginning of this halacha, which is he made a mistake. You don't assume that this guy purposely wanted to destroy your laptop. He made a mistake. So I know you made a mistake, and I just want to understand. Right?
Is this why rhetorical, or like if he gives you a really bad reason, then...
No, it begins with a why. You want to understand. In other words, you want to get to a point, basically, you want to get to a point where you've gotten off your chest what's bothering you. That you have to work it out, that you might have to go to a Beis Din, that you might have to go to a court, right? As we'll progress in the Rambam says you can't hate him, you can't take revenge on him, and you can't be angry at him. You got to let go of your anger. Doesn't mean you can't decide what to do. You know, if you came into my office and you used my laptop and you destroyed the laptop, and if I felt that, you know, technically you're wrong, I'd come and say, look, I don't know if you realize what you did, but, you know, you broke my laptop. Why'd you do that? Let's say you say, I don't know what you're talking about. I say, well, you know, I don't know. I got a hidden camera in my office and I caught you. I don't know, whatever it is, right? And let's say you get to the point where he says, okay, tough. You say, okay, look, I just want you to know I feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to have to take you to a Beis Din. I don't want to, whatever. That's okay. But it's not okay if it comes out of anger. Not healthy. Not healthy. Right? Why did you make this mistake? Because there's a mitzvah to be mochiach. Now we're going to talk about what tochacha is. And what if he asks your forgiveness? If he asks your forgiveness, you have to forgive him. Like sometimes you see a person says, look, I'm really sorry. You say, well, I bet you're sorry. I'm not forgiving you. Can't do that. Lalacha. Now, how you define somebody saying, I'm sorry, you, like, you know, it's different. You know, a guy cuts off your finger because he's annoyed at you and he says, okay, I'm sorry, whatever, fine, right? So you don't feel like he said, I'm sorry. That's a different question. But once a person is sincerely apologizing, you are obligated to receive his apology. V'lo yehe ha-mochel achzari. And the person who's forgiving shouldn't be cruel. Sh'ne'emar v'yitpolel Avram el Elohim. Right? So we'll get to what that means. But you don't have to rub his dirt, his face in it. You don't have to create enmity in the world. So we're going to have to get our next time into a discussion about what exactly tochacha is, what it is and what it isn't, which is, I think, a valuable discussion. We actually talked about this a little bit back when we did the parents program, but we'll sort of get a little deeper into it. Food for thought. Shkarach, guys.
Are we having the Gan Yehudi